My guest today is Ingrid Barnett. She's a professor of cultural geography at TMCC and UNR, and she's the guest curator for a new exhibit coming to the Nevada Historical Society. It's called Sagebrush Psychedelic, at Play in the Desert. Welcome, Dr. Barnett. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Now, I think that people are going to be shocked and surprised to hear the story of Sagebrush Psychedelic and what happened in Virginia City in the mid-60s. Some people are aware of the context of it. If you've lived in Nevada, you've heard the stories. But first of all, tell us why you chose this subject, Virginia City in the mid-60s, for your dissertation leading to this wonderful exhibit.
As a cultural geographer, I'm always very interested in place. And in terms of my education, I come from a multidisciplinary background. I have my master's degree in French literature. I'm a classical musician. So I certainly always tried to bring music into the work that I was doing, even with French literature. Then moving into my degree in cultural geography, I became more and more fascinated with the notion of place and why certain things happen in certain places. And in particular, why certain types of music and various artistic aesthetics come from certain places. So that was the starting point. But then as I learned more about the story of 1965 and the Red Dog Saloon, where one could argue, and I do make that argument in my dissertation, the major factors behind what would develop into the psychedelic scene and the San Francisco Sound leading into the Summer of Love were, in fact, invented in Virginia City, Nevada. That fascinated me because I could not think of a place more unlikely for that kind of development.
I understand completely why you would think that. And I'm thinking, as I hear these stories, what was going on in Virginia City in the mid-60s that made this such an open place where this could happen, this experiment could happen?
That's a really interesting question. In the 1960s, Bonanza had started to really have an influence in American popular culture. And of course, one of the supposed settings of Bonanza, although it was done on a movie in a different movie location, but it was supposed to be Virginia City, Nevada. That captured the national attention for many people. And we see the community, we see Virginia City bonanzifying, you might say. And you have, yes, the Bonanza Casino today, you see elements where the city attempted to take on a rough and tumble Wild West place image, which was so popular at that time in American popular culture. Some would argue because of the Cold War, Westerns were a comforting, easy way to take this huge, gigantic problem and distill it down into
the good
simple
guy, bad
good
guy.
And bad.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Let's start at the beginning. Let's go to the Zen Mind Shack in Silver City in 1964. It was the winter of 64. Guys were playing Risk. Something happened. What was this idea?
So you had three gentlemen playing the mythic game of Risk, Chandler Laughlin III, Mark Unobsky, and the owner of the Zen Mind, Don Works. And there was some illegal it wasn't illegal in 1964, but there was some recreation in terms of drug use going on, and Risk and discussion of treaties and things that were probably a really bad idea all mixed up together. And finally, Don basically said, look, we need to have a bigger place to do this. We need, if I'm going to keep entertaining everybody that comes through, because he had become a magnet for people very much interested in a countercultural, beatnik-inspired way of life. So he said, I need a bigger place to keep all of you guys. And around the same time, Mark Unobsky, who was from Tennessee originally, the son of influential, wealthy parents, needed to find some way to please his father. His father wanted him to have his own business or do something to be successful. And so the idea occurred to the three of them, why not open a Wild West saloon? And so with the backing of Mark Unobsky's parents, they were able to purchase a saloon on C Street and turn it from the Gold Leaf Bar into the Red Dog Saloon. And really, I think that it was born out of, the notion was born out of American popular culture at that time. And these were all individuals who had very much decided to move away from mainstream society, who, because of the atomic age, also known as the age of anxiety, had decided, look, if we're going to die in a nuclear war, let's do it in the country.
I can't think of a better use of the Wild West. People go into the Wild West to be free, to do what they want to do. And here they are going to escape the age of anxiety, going to Virginia City, doing what they want to do, and creating this whole new movement. Sounds like it's the perfect place for this to happen.
Absolutely. And as I looked more and more into the research, there were a number of factors that were inescapable. Historically speaking, the ties, the financial ties, the cultural ties, the demographic ties between San Francisco and Virginia City had always been there. Quite frankly, Virginia City was not a viable community. It had a very large lack of natural resources. Of course, not in terms of silver and gold, but in terms of a land that could be cultivated, in terms of a sure, good water source. And so the community was largely not viable without San Francisco. So there's your first tie. Virginia City was close enough to San Francisco that it was a day trip, but at the same time, probably far enough for mom and dad not to come and track you down. There was a general lack of law enforcement presence, and the old-fashioned Nevada notion, stay out of my business and I'll stay out of yours.
It's perfect. It's a perfect cauldron for all this to happen.
Absolutely. And so it gave them just the breathing room that they needed. They were already working on these ideas. The charlatans in particular really had their pulse on the age before anybody else. They were very prescient in that sense of seeing what was coming and what this age of Aquarius could be. George Hunter, Mike Wilhelm, Dan Hicks, Rich Olson, and Mike Ferguson are who I'm speaking about with the charlatans. Let me just say about the charlatans, they were the first psychedelic rock group. And I've talked to any number of people, members of Big Brother and the Holding Company, Yorma Kekkonen from Jefferson Airplane, and the response is always the same. The charlatans started it all. Jerry Garcia, when asked in numerous interviews who his favorite psychedelic guitar player was, would say Mike Wilhelm of the charlatans. So it's hard for us to understand today because their recording career and their studio work, for a number of reasons, was not too terribly successful. And the group kind of came apart fairly quickly, but they were huge in the 1960s and very influential to what would develop, and played the Summer of Love. And so we have the charlatans who got their first paying gig at the Red Dog and were really launched there, going back to San Francisco with this new Wild West aesthetic. John Cipollina, who would go on to form Quicksilver Messenger Service, was at the Red Dog and saw the charlatans perform, and he could not get over this notion of gunslingers up there singing and rocking out. And that was the inspiration behind Quicksilver Messenger Service. In other terms, Bill Ham, who is the progenitor of liquid projection and the light show, built a machine that was used at the Red Dog Saloon and provided the first light show experimentation in a concert format. Unlike San Francisco, where there were prohibitions against dancing in many public areas, in Virginia City, they quite frankly did not care. And so dancing became a very important element in this new way of interacting and participating as an audience member in a psychedelic concert setting. That was absolutely new. So they saw that coming. They really molded, in many respects, this early psychedelic 1960s aesthetic, but they needed the breathing room to be able to do that. And that is really what Virginia City and Nevada supplied for them.
We're talking with Ingrid Barnett. She's guest curator of a fantastic exhibit coming to the Nevada Historical Society, Sagebrush Psychedelic at Play in the Desert. It's going to be there through the 30th. Now, the opening reception is June 6th. It's a Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m., and we're going to have some special guests.
The opening reception will feature some of the original living members of the Charlatans. I do not want to give away names at the moment. It will be a surprise, but for all those who come out, they will be quite delighted. We will also have Red Dog participants, people who were actually there, some who worked at the Red Dog, some who came as eyewitnesses, people from a variety of different capacities and with different relationships to Virginia City. We will be showing some very rare footage of the Charlatans performing for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is footage that many fans may not actually be familiar with or may not have had a chance to see. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Sounds fantastic. Saturday the 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. That's the opening reception for the exhibit Sagebrush Psychedelic at Play in the Desert. And then on June 19th, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Charlatans being at Virginia City. It's a three-day celebration. This is going to be even more fantastic.
I am so excited. I have to tell you that every time I interviewed somebody involved in the Red Dog, I left thinking what I would not give, again, to go back to 1965 and see what was going on. Well, this concert weekend will provide us with a slice of that. It begins Friday night, the 19th, with Scrag Family. They were the house band at the Red Dog in 1967, and they are a very well-known folk music group, so we'll start with that. Saturday, the 20th, at Piper's Opera House, the Charlatans will be reuniting for the first of their last two performances ever as a group. Afterward, they will do a VIP meet and greet at the Red Dog Saloon. The Red Dog Saloon can be contacted directly for ticket information. And then Sunday, they're going to do something absolutely unique. It's called the Red Dog Experience, Locked and Loaded. They will be performing as well as reenacting some of the most famous stories from the Red Dog Saloon in 1965. And for more information on that, I highly recommend that listeners check out Mary Works Covington's documentary. It's had a couple of different titles. Rockin' at the Red Dog is one, or The Life and Times of the Red Dog Saloon. And that will really provide the backstory and the context for what will be going on this June in Virginia City, Nevada.
This is going to be such a great summer. It's our own psychedelic summer right here in Nevada.
Absolutely, and it's a wonderful build-up to Burning Man.
It's all going together again.
Yes, it's our pre-burn.
Ingrid, thank you very much for your interest in this, a wonderful part of history for Northern Nevada and Virginia City. I'm really excited that people will get to share in what was so original and fantastic about 1965 in Virginia City. I really appreciate you bringing it all together and letting people enjoy what Nevada's all about.
Thank you very much. I sincerely hope that people will come up and catch a little bit of that Age of Aquarius Red Dog spirit.
I'll be there.
Thank you.